Thank you, Brother Steve. You said that just like I wrote it. No, actually, I didn't, but I do appreciate those words of encouragement to me and to you. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, not on the winds and the waves. If you don't have much peace, you probably need to turn television off, or at least the news, and you need to turn off a lot of social media. That's what I've done. It just got to where it was just sucking the life right out of me. I have to check Facebook a couple times a day because people use Messenger as text and email anymore. But other than that, I'm not looking at too much because there is way too much division. God is on the throne. Amen. And you need to keep your eyes on Jesus because he's promised to take care of us no matter what. Would you stand in honor of the reading of God's word? I want to read to you from Joshua chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 30 and 35, and I'm reading from the Amplified this morning. It says, "Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the Israelites, as it's written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of unhewn stones upon which no man had lifted up an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord, and they sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the Israelites, Joshua wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses. And all Israel, sojourner as well as he who was born among them, with their elders, their officers, and judges, stood on either side of the ark before the Levitical priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Half of them in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the Israelites. Afterward, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, and all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, and the women and the little ones and the foreigners who were living among them." You may be seated this morning. Brother Steve has prayed, and I thank him again for that prayer. That's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about the blessings and the curses of covenant. You and I are in spiritual warfare. The Bible said that in the last days, perilous times would come, that those that are evil and lost would just get worse and worse and worse. It said people would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, that they'd be hateful and hard to get along with. And that's one of the reasons we're seeing some of the things that we are. The Bible also teaches that near the end of time, and people are asking me all the time now, they say, "Pastor Ken, you think this is it? You think the trumpet's getting ready to sound?" I don't know. And neither does anybody else for sure. But I know you need to have your lamp filled with oil and your light burning. And you need to be ready no matter what, because he's going to come in a time and an hour that you think not. But I also know this. The Bible teaches that because the devil understands that he only has a little time left, he's going to be raging like a rabid dog on a short leash. And I'm telling you, that's what we're seeing right now. But you and I, through the book of Joshua, can see how we are to do spiritual warfare. And like Brother Steve said, right now it just seems like there's so little that we can do about anything. I think that's one of the things that's so frustrating. You know, you don't know who to believe. You don't really know what's going on. You don't actually know how to respond or what to do. Do you? Or do you feel that way? Anybody else feel that way? I can tell you, my lifetime, and I'm 60-plus years old, I have never seen anything like we're going through right now. It looks like just everything is in chaos. But I want to tell you something. The God that we serve is still on the throne. He doesn't always orchestrate these things, but he sometimes allows them to happen for a purpose. But as long as you are walking where you're supposed to be, God will take care of you. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what the government does. I don't care what the CDC does. I don't care what anybody does. I don't care what any other nation on the face of the earth is doing. God said, "I will keep my hand upon you." And if you're born again and blood washed, the worst that can happen to you is you die and go to heaven and leave it all behind. I spent some time with my daughter this week, and we were riding together in the car. We got to talk about all this stuff, and I looked at her. I said, I know. I said, I humbly say this, but I'm like, Lord, what are you waiting on? Come get us. We're ready to go home. I'm telling you, the world is in chaos. But God is not. Somebody said one word God never said was oops. He knows what's going on. He's got his hand on you and I. I want you to see some things through Joshua and the Israelites here. They had defeated the city of Ai. They had learned a powerful lesson as they went to conquer these people. They had learned to have God fight their battles and live in victory. And that's the first thing you have to get in your heart about spiritual warfare. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord. A lot of people talk about fighting spiritual warfare. You don't have to fight spiritual warfare. In fact, if you try, the devil's going to eat your lunch. That's one of the reasons I want to share some of this stuff. I don't want you to try to take hell on with a water pistol. I want you to take it on with the armor and weapons of God that are real and effective in your life. And see, they learned that if God was going to fight their battles and they were going to live in victory, that they had to keep themselves free from sin, they had to walk in obedience to God's word, and they had to keep the covenant. That's why at this moment and place in time, Joshua is leading the people after they've learned this. They failed. Remember, some people died because there was sin in the camp. Now that they've learned this, he is now stopping to renew the covenant with them. He wants them to understand the victory comes through God and through walking in covenant with them. And Moses had commanded them that when they got into the promised land, they were to go to these two mountains, and half of Israel was to stand at the bottom of one, and half was to stand at the bottom of the other. On one mountain, they would declare the blessings of the covenant. Now, I don't have time today to get into all of it, but if you go back, you'll see that God said, if you keep my word, if you don't follow other gods, if you will obey the things that I tell you, I will bless you when you rise up. I will bless you when you sit down. I will bless you when you go out. I will bless you when you come in. I will bless your children. I will bless your lands and your harvest. And I will keep you as a special treasure and the apple of my eye. He said, your enemies will fall before you. One of you will chase 100, and 100 will chase 1,000 and 10,000. He said, nobody will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. He was telling us how to do spiritual warfare. But there was also the cursing of the covenant, and that's what the other group would read out on the other side of the mountain, because God told them the exact opposite. He said, if you stray from me, if you follow other gods, if you don't keep my word, you're going to be cursed in the field. You're going to be cursed in your house. You're going to be cursed when you rise up. You're going to be cursed when you lay down. God was teaching us very clearly that you and I need to love him with all of our hearts, follow his word, obey the gospel, and he'll take care of everything else. I grew up in a very poverty-stricken home. I wish I would have known what Matthew 6:33 said, that if you seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, right standing, right living, walking with God, Jesus said, God will take care of you. He'll put a roof over your head, clothes on your back. You will never lack food or the necessities of life. God will always be there for you if you'll walk with him. And so they were renewing the covenant. In Deuteronomy 11, it says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. This was Moses speaking. And the curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside from the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which you have not known. And when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, you shall set the blessing on Mount Gerizim and a curse on Mount Ebal. Joshua was doing exactly, Moses was dead and gone by this time, but Joshua was following through exactly what Moses told him to do. Now I want to tell you something. Here is why you and I are in a battle of spiritual warfare. In 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible tells us who our enemy is. It says, be sober. You ain't getting drunk, are you? Bible says drunkenness will not enter the kingdom of God, Galatians 5:19. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, one word I like there is this. He's seeking someone to devour. That means he cannot devour everybody. You and I have an enemy of our soul, an enemy of our lives. He's doing everything he can to steal and to kill and destroy. And when you look around at the mess that's going on in the world, he is the father and the author of it. As Brother Steve so wonderfully said, he wants to cause division. He knows and understands that a house divided cannot stand. And like Brother Steve said, it's bad enough that the world's done it, but now he's making the church do the same thing. We are fighting over anything and everything. That's why I had to take a break from social media, man. You can't say anything about anything. You say roses, and they're like, no, it's lilies. I'm like, gee, I just said good morning. Why? Why? We cannot be divided like that, church. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and love one another. That's what's wrong with the world. Sin is wrong with the world. Hatred in people's hearts is what is wrong with the world. Don't let that hatred get down inside of you. Do whatever you got to do, but cut it off. But the devil is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now I want to show you who he cannot devour. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm really not. I'm not. The worst he could do is kill me, and he's tried a few times, been close a few times. I remember one time at 27 years of age, I was laying flat on my back, could not even turn over in the bed. And I laughed at him. I said, you've done all you can do. The only other thing you can do is kill me, and if you do that, you're going to send me home. That's right. Listen to this. Now, I want you to think about what it says in Peter. He's like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Listen to what Isaiah says about our protector and who protects us and how he protects us. Isaiah 35, verse 8. Write it down because some of you will email me later and say, what was that scripture, Pastor Ken? Isaiah 35, verses 8 through 10 says, a highway will be there, a roadway. And it will be called the highway of holiness. You know where that highway is? It's anywhere you step your foot as long as you're obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. As long as you're walking in the light as he is in the light. As long as you are walking in the light that you have and you're in fellowship with Jesus Christ, you are walking on the highway of holiness. It becomes a highway for those that love God. It seems straight and narrow when you first get on it, doesn't it? Because Jesus said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. But Brother Kenny, when I got on it and I started walking, brother, that thing started opening up, and God opened up an interstate highway for me to live in his presence and in his glory and in his word and in his favor and in his protection. It's a highway of holiness. Holiness simply means you're separated to the things of God. It says the unclean will not travel on it. You hear that? The unclean won't get on it. You know why? Because you don't like it. You complain. Oh, it's so tough. It's so hard. I don't know if I can serve God. I don't know if I can live like he wants me to live. I got to tell you, the Bible said the way of the wicked is hard. The devil's got you tricked if that's what you think. But it said the unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way. You know what Christianity was called in the New Testament before they went to Antioch? It was called the Way. The Way. Christianity was about 35, 40 years old before anybody came up with the title of Christian. They called, if you were a Christian, they said you are one of those people that are in the way. I never thought about it this way before, Deb, but I kind of like that. It means we're in the way of the devil. We're in his way. Jesus said, as his children, you're the salt of the earth. You're a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. He said, if it wasn't for you, this world wouldn't be worth anything. If you'll walk with God, you'll get in the devil's way. See, that's what he's trying to do now. He's trying to make you so mad and hateful that you quit walking with God. That's what he's trying to do. But he said, it's for him who walks that way. And it says, and fools will not wander on it. Here's the part I want you to see. No lion will be there. The devil as a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But if you walk here in this way, he won't get on this road. You know why? Because as long as you're walking in covenant with God, when he comes to the door, Jesus answers it. You don't have to lay in the bed at night thinking, did I pray the right prayer? Did I rebuke this and bind that and the other thing? All you got to do is obey God. People ask me all the time, you know, because I guess because I'm a Christian and a minister. They say, Pastor Ken, what are you doing in all this? I said, I'm just serving God. I'm just obeying the gospel. Sometimes all I can do is just stand, but I don't back up. I don't quit. I don't backslide. I don't give in. I just stand and wait on the Lord. See, because when you're walking here, no lion will go up there. The devil's afraid of God. He's not afraid of you. That's why I don't want you taking hell on with a water pistol. There are people rebuking devils and casting this out and the other thing, and the devil's laughing at them. Because if you're not walking in covenant with God, you don't have any power or authority whatsoever. None. Too many people talk stuff and don't live the gospel, and the devil's just laughing and clapping his hands with glee, and he's going to eat their lunch sooner or later. You want to defeat the devil? Get on the highway of holiness and stay there. Listen to this. Nor will any vicious beast go up on it. Man, somebody ought to be shouting. You ought to be shouting. If I walk with God, the devil can't touch me. Some of you spend half your life trying to figure out, is that God or is that the devil? Well, if you're disobeying God, it's probably the devil. But if your heart's right and your life's right, don't worry about it. God is with you. He'll take care of you. Devil cannot do anything to you that God does not allow if you walk in covenant with God. That's how you do spiritual warfare. It said, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion. With everlasting joy upon their heads, they will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. How many of you know your families, your relatives, the people you work with, the people you live around, they're watching you. They want to see how you react to all this. I'm glad I have Jesus. Aren't you, Krista? Yes, I'm glad I have Jesus down in my heart and life. I would be losing my mind right now. I don't know what I'd be doing if I didn't know that God is on the throne and in control. Isaiah 48:17 said, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. Then your peace and prosperity would have been like a flowing river, and your righteousness like the abundant waves of the sea. All God has ever asked us to do is simply from one moment to the next, obey the gospel. From one hour to the next, obey the gospel. From one day to the next, just obey the gospel. You know, everything that's going on, it's so much bigger than you and I. You know, I pray for our leadership. I would hate to be in leadership right now in our country. Whether it's the president, whether it's a mayor, whether it's a police chief, what, you know, whoever. Because I'm telling you, there's just chaos everywhere. But we have a God who is not moved, a God that we can count on, a God that we stand in. And know that though the mountains and the hills be removed, we'll still be okay because our God will be with us. Now, how many of you know Jesus is a covenant maker? In Matthew 26, he says, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and praising God, gave thanks, and asked him to bless it to their use. And when he had broken it, he gave it to the disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body." I just, Lord, spoke this scripture to my heart this week, and I was writing it down, and I thought, Lord, how can we take communion right now and keep everybody safe? You know, I'm ready to take communion again, aren't you? I guess we're going to have to get them little sealed cups out that we don't like so much. Or something, I don't know. We'll figure it out. But take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and we given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which ratifies the agreement and is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." They had a covenant in the Old Testament, and there was blessing and there was cursing. What so many people have not understood in the New Testament is that has never changed. We still walk in a covenant of blessing and cursing. Blessed if you do the things of God. Cursed if you don't. In John 14:21, Jesus said, "The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. Not the one that just sings about me. Not the one that just preaches about me. Not the one that wears t-shirts with my name on it and bumper stickers on the car. The one that really, really loves me is the one that keeps my commands. And whoever really loves me," he said, "will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show, I will reveal and manifest myself to him." God show up to you lately? Has he kissed you on the head lately? He does, doesn't he? He does. All the time, it's like, things happen and God touches our lives, and sometimes he touches our spirits and sometimes he does things for us. And I say, "I know that's you, God. I know that's you, Jesus. I know that didn't happen by chance and it didn't happen by coincidence. God, I know that's you." I told my sister this week, I said, "Don't you feel like his favorite?" I didn't want to break her heart because he makes all of his children feel like that. Yeah, she still thinks she's mom's favorite. Gee. Our daughter got up at my mom's funeral and told everybody, she says, "I don't want to make all of you mad, but I'm grandma's favorite." I got up behind her and I went, "Shh, don't tell her. She don't know." Everybody was my mom's favorite. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. See, that's the other thing. When you don't obey the gospel, when you cheat and you fudge and you do things that you know you shouldn't do, I'm not talking about things you don't know about. I'm talking about things you know are wrong and you keep doing them. You know what you miss out on? Seeing Jesus. Seeing him show up in your life all the time, in everything, everywhere. Taking care of you and blessing you and touching your life. I'm going to say it again because I like it. I had the opportunity to tell an atheist he was trying to disprove the Bible to me. I said, "You're too late. I've already seen him. I already know him. I know that he's real. He's already touched me and changed my life." I said, "You can throw the whole book away and it still won't make any difference." God is real. And reveals himself to those who will love him and keep his commandments. Because he's a covenant-keeping God. Jesus, one day, the Bible said, got to dance in a little jig. I know, because he said, "I rejoice in you, Father, that you've hid it from the wise and the prudent and all those full of their self people. And you reveal yourself unto babes." To anybody that will listen to you and do your will, it doesn't matter what color, background, race, creed, color, economic level, doesn't matter. He said, "You will show yourself." And he said, "You'll receive the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, because it can't see him and it doesn't know him." See, some of you look at those sunsets and you say, "What a beautiful creation." And a lot of us look at it and say, "God, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Now, I want to show you that I'm just not full of hot air. This is scriptural, to walk in covenant with God. But you have to understand that there's all these blessings of covenant, but there's curses of covenant, especially for the children of God. I used to drive parents crazy. Years ago, I was a youth leader. And I used to tell young people, I'd say, if you ain't going to live for God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, and really sell out, you ought to just go get drunk, get high, do whatever it is you're going to do, because then you're going to die and go to hell. Some of the parents are like, Brother Kenny, don't say that to them. The worst place you can be in life, believe it or not, is not totally lost, but trying to serve God and not selling out. Because you'll be too holy to enjoy the sin that you used to enjoy, and too sinful to enjoy the blessings of God. You'll be in limbo. Man, don't live there. And then I would always tell them this: give God your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole life. Live for Him with more passion than you live for the devil. Glory to God. Now I'm going to ask the worship team to come to the platform if you would. But listen to Acts 3:22. Book of Acts. How many of you know that's New Testament? New Testament. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. And you shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. You know what Jesus' last words to all of us were right before he ascended back to the Father? He said, go into all the world, Christians, and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything and to do everything that I have taught you to do. That's what his last words were. It says, you shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, in everything that he tells you. And it shall be, now this is New Testament, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. He wasn't talking about Moses, he talked about Jesus. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness or your wicked ways. He just wants you to serve him with all of your heart. And I can tell you, when you give him your whole heart, serving God will be the easiest thing you ever do in this life. I mean, he will fill you with his presence, his joy, his favor, his blessing, that people will think you don't have good sense. Because you can have peace and you can have joy in the midst of everything that's going on. Amen. Walk in covenant. Let God be your protector. Let God be your provider. Let God be your refuge, your strong tower. He's your Savior. Amen. Amen. Would you stand?
Brother Steve. Thank you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Anybody felt encouraged and lifted up today? Amen. Couldn't help but think, as I was feeling so uplifted and sitting in God's presence, would you look around? There's some people missing today. Amen. And I cannot imagine doing this alone at home. And I understand there's some people that can't make it to church for certain reasons, but there's some people that can be here. They need encouragement. They need uplifted. Will you be that person that reaches out to them and say, come, join us at New Life. Be with our family. Be encouraged. Sit under God's teaching. Will you just speak that simple word to that person? Encourage them to come to church with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We thank you for today's message. Father, we thank you that you have established a covenant with your people, with us, with me, Father God. Father God, we thank you for this description of a highway to holiness. You didn't say it was a path in the woods to holiness. You didn't say it was a sidewalk to holiness. You didn't even say it was a country road to holiness. You said it was a highway to holiness, a road wide enough for everyone who wants to choose to follow you, to step up on this highway, to enjoy your protection, to enjoy your favor, Father God. Father, help us choose today to step up on this highway to holiness, Father God. We thank you for this covenant you have established with us, Father God. We don't deserve your favor, but Father God, you look down with us with love and compassion. Father God, help us to submit our lives to you. Help us to be obedient to you, Father God. Father, I lift up those here today and those who aren't here today, Father God. Their hearts are downcast. Father God, they see all the turmoil. They see everything that's going on in the world, and their hearts are downcast, Father God. Would you lift up their head, lift their soul, Father God. Touch them and meet their needs, Father God. Help them to turn their focus from this world to you, Father God, and your promises to them. And Father God, I pray for those who are here today who are going through hard times, through physical afflictions, Father God. Father, it's been a long time to themselves that they've been going through this, and they sit there and wonder, when, God, will you come? Father God, heal them. Touch them right now, Father God. And Father God, if you choose not to, will you let them know that you're beside them as they're going through this time? Lord, walk with them. Encourage them. Lift them up, I pray. Lord, be with your people now as we go out into the world, Father God, to our unsaved friends and co-workers, Father God. Yeah. Let us be a light unto them, Father God. Help us to show them this highway to holiness where your favor rests on all those who choose to follow that highway. So, Father, go with us. Holy Spirit, just go before us, behind us, everywhere around us. Rest on our shoulders, I pray, this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.